Fine. Thanks, Basil. All right. So, Rassie brought his ball again. And who was here the last time when I brought the ball? Just by show of hands. What have we got here? All right, let's call it 20 people or something like that. Okay, of these 20 people, who can tell me what was the topic last time? It was, why did I bring the ball? Can you remember? Don't drop the ball. All right, don't drop the ball. That's exactly. So, Basil said the last time he didn't give me lots of time, so he'll get me back. And he didn't give me much time either. Okay. So, but we know the Lord, you know, he builds line upon line in various ways, and sometimes it's only a little bit, and sometimes it's more. But I've got a new visitor. Can we just give Luan a hand? Luan, as jy gaan vorentoe kan kom. All right. If I say new visitor is here for the first time, and he stepped into it. So here is for you. All right. Now I need another volunteer, please. I need, will you come and catch the ball for me? Yes, please. No, okay, right. whichever. Okay, rock, paper, scissors. Jy kan die bal vir hom gooi. Okay. So the bottom line is, H me, don't drop the ball. All right. So I need these two attractive gentlemen to join me on the stage, please. All right. Julle kan julle julle stoel vir julleself kry, want julle gaan 'n rukkie hier wees. En julle skryfbehoeftes en alles. All right. Whatever. So, ja, daai is perfek. Daai is perfek. Thanks. Pierre, sal jy gou hierdie vir my net ingooi? Sê jy net daar soos jy sê net gou vir my sal ingooi. Dankie. All right. Nee, ek het Luan, as jy die kant kan sit. En as jy daai kant kan sit. Grand. All right. And also else, everything is just set up. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are so ready, that your heart is full. Thank you that you've been interceding for us throughout the ages, dreaming of this moment to some extent, and dreaming us up and creating us according to a pattern that existed long before anything was. The one who was aware and the one who is present, the one who is smiling, the one who is desirous. Lord, we thank you that we can come to a living God who doesn't drop the ball. Lord, we turn to you with everything we've got, and we say, Lord, in you we come alive. Please make us come alive. Even tonight, even right now, and going into this next phase, this next step, this whatever is next for us. Lord, we want to be with you where you are. Please help us with that, Lord. Just awake, awake, awake. Open eyes, awake. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the nice thing about our King is that he comes to those who are deaf, to those who are blind, and he comes and opens the eyes and opens us up to that which he is doing. Amen? And so these props are just demonstrating something that he's doing in the spiritual realm, that he's encouraging. It's just something to help us remember, all right? But every now and then I'm going to, so you need to be ready to catch the ball, please. So every now and then, I'm just going to throw the ball. Don't be distracted by it. All right. If you can, just close your eyes when I'm throwing the ball or something. But let it burn in your heart just how the Lord is asking you to catch things in the spiritual realm. Do you know that we can catch things or drop things? Which the Bible says that he comes and he gives good seeds, but those seeds can be wasted. Those seeds can, something can come and pick it up, and you are without it at the moment. Thank you. And then it just brings forth no fruit. But when the Lord is here tonight, he wants to give us something that will bear everlasting fruit. Okay, do you know that the Lord has got plans for you that are good plans of significance in the kingdom? Amen? And did you know that we can actually pray prayers that outlast our lives here on earth? Are you aware of that? Do you know that probably the most significant thing you can do for the kingdom of heaven is praying with Jesus? Are you aware that it can change somebody's life like it changed yours when somebody prayed for your salvation or for your finances, maybe your health, maybe something? Did you know that some of the saints throughout the ages were praying and the miraculous, the heavenlies broke into the earthly realm, and that God is calling us to that very same thing, right? Did you know that we are actually facing a very real enemy in the devil, of whom it is written we are wrestling with him. And a great part of that wrestling will be in prayer. So our fight is not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And as there is a fight and as there is a wrestling, let us not be those who roll over, play dead, do nothing, and hope for something. All right? Okay, that which the Lord has for us, he wants to empower us to be his witnesses. He wants to empower us to glorify him on earth. He wants to come upon us like he came on Samson when there was this whole host surrounding them. And he wants to bring a great deliverance for his people. It's the very same God. And the Bible says that someone like Elijah was a man just like you and me, all right, who was an ordinary man. And so were the other prophets. They were not somehow born with a halo or born with, some of them were born a bit more special than others. I get that. But the Bible says that Elijah was just like us. I don't know about the others. All right. And if Elijah could pray earnestly and results on earth changed a nation, then it must mean that the 100-odd of us that are here tonight could theoretically pray and change the course of this nation. I mean, it has to be part of the equation. Amen. So, if I can have the donkey, you look way away from me. Okay. So in the book of James, it says that the prayer of a righteous person has great power. All right, James 5:16. Says that, and there's a bit of adjectives as to how this prayer looks like. But the bottom line is, not all prayer has great power, like all of us can testify. So at times I pray, and it feels like quite dead, you know. And then at other times, sometimes when you get into the river of God, somehow you find the Lord, somehow, when faith and grace and spirit and whatsoever collide, then it feels like you're striking it rich. And it's like you know you are being heard, you know? Jesus at some stage said, Father, I know that you hear me. And it's a reality that he lived in, but it's something that we need to aspire to. A knowing, a recognition, a something, some witness on the inside that now there is power flowing. That is not automatic. And when we look at any person, any team doing something, we would know that, for example, the Springbok rugby team, they probably were practicing from like whenever to catch the ball, to pass the ball, to cling on to the ball, to work with this thing, to eventually go to the bigger stage. And life with the Spirit and life with our Lord Jesus is exactly the same. All right. So, we don't get anywhere without practice. Say with me. We don't get anywhere without practice. I'm going to practice prayer. Thank you, thank you. All right. So just some reminders, all right, revisits. The following things happened as we look through Scripture when people prayed. So not all of this might apply to you, but as I'm reading this, as I'm just stirring us by reminder, it might, one of these might be applicable to you. Catch that ball and hold on to it, because that's going to be a difference for you during this coming week, all right? So, when Job was praying for his friends, he was restored. When Pierre was praying for those who were servicing his car, he was blessed, all right? When Daniel was praying, angels came. And the same with Cornelius, the Roman who was not part of the Jews. When Aaron and Moses were interceding, God sent fire from heaven. All right? They were responding, and God answered by fire. Do you know who also received fire from heaven? Somebody just like us, Elijah. But you know, there were other people also, when they were praying, they were receiving fire from heaven. Who can give me an example? Who received fire as they were praying? Yeah, absolutely. Not real fire, but definitely spirit fire. Totally. It's 120 in the upper room. Good. Who else? Okay, so Moses, I've got Elijah. Do you know that David, at some stage, was praying and fire fell from heaven? Okay, you would find that. Let me give you, Pam, I'll just give that to you. 1 Chronicles 21:26. Okay. Did you know that when Solomon dedicated the temple and prayed, that fire fell and consumed? Solomon up there, potentially one of the greatest, and then falling down, right down there to one of the worst kings Israel has ever had, as far as I'm concerned. But fire fell when he prayed. Did you know that when Peter was praying, he was caught up in a trance? He saw things that he had never imagined. And similar for Paul. Paul was seeking the Lord and went into a trance. Who wants to be in a trance? I want to. I want to see things. It's available. Look, I'm just revisiting here. Did you know that when the saints were praying, Peter was miraculously delivered? There was an answer to the prayer of the saints. An angel came, unlocked everything in the prison, kept the guards sleeping, and took him out. When the leaders were praying, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to separate Paul and Silas. When Paul and Silas were praying and praising, the prison was shaken. There was an earthquake. They were delivered. When Jesus was praying, the heavens were opened. And he was transformed right in front of their eyes. And these are some of the examples which we find as people pray. Now, why do I remind us of the spectacular? Well, the reality is, many times, as we bow our knees, and probably there's no one in the room that hasn't prayed before, it just actually feels quite dead. We don't have the trances. We don't have the resurrections. We don't have the transformations. And we're actually quite discouraged. We go away and think, I probably could have left that. Did it make any difference? Okay. So, I think the frustrations that we have are one of the things that the Lord wants to help us over. But when a child starts to walk, or when we practice anything, like when somebody learns to play a violin, an instrument, but let's take a violin, just because it's quite a savage instrument. The initial amount of times that you try and do this thing can be very, very discouraging, both to you and to the people around you. To a place where you actually get to, like, I don't think this is going to work for me, or whatever. And we do have the exceptions, but mostly when somebody has his first year or two of life and they try to walk, just to walk, it is such a catastrophe. There's so many times that you fall, you hurt yourself, you become a danger to everything around you. And similarly to prayer, you don't get it right the first time necessarily. Definitely not the way that Jesus, for example, got it right. The heavens were open and all of that. But if we can remind one another of some of the potential outcomes, then we can press into that place which the Lord has for us. This morning, as we were together in Paul, Ruan mentioned a scripture. And he said the Pharisees missed what Jesus had for them. Now, the Pharisees, we know, were people who were giving themselves to the Word, to the Bible, to keeping the doctrine pure. But it says they missed. Where's this verse? Pier, wat het was hy vers? Het jy hom? Kom, laat ek, hoe moeilik kan dit nou wees? Lord, but the Pharisees missed it. The only thing is something like Luke 7. Something like Luke 7, if you can get that. I don't know why I can't find it. I'm jumping around in my notes, by the way. So there's no order to this very thing. But here it is. It says Jesus came, or John, the John the Baptizer came, and he was baptizing people in the Jordan. And then it says, but the Pharisees, they missed the purpose that God had for them, not responding to that grace, which was the baptism grace. He says there was a purpose of God for them and they missed it. And can I just say that God can have purposes for your and my life, which you and I will miss if we don't get baptized into this baptism of prayer that the living God wants to take us into. So here, I've got signs of communion. I've got a wafer, and I've got the juice. I just feel that the Lord prophetically wants to say that partaking of Him will be the breakthrough in your prayer. And I'm not just referring to you physically taking communion, although I would advise it. But I want to take something from the book of Romans, the scripture, where I just want to say there's something in the life of Jesus that will get us through every obstacle. In Romans, let me quickly see. 5, in verse 10, it says, "While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. But much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." Now, when we partake of communion, and so just watch the glass there. I'm not going to hold it all the time. Luan, can I get for you here? Okay. When we... Dankie. Ah, this is so nice. I like the props. Dankie dat jullie help. So when we partake of Jesus, when we partake of the broken body and the shed blood, we don't only partake of the death that reconciled us. We partake of the life that saves us. Are you with me? Okay. When we were enemies, we said God came, and there where we were disqualified from coming into the presence, disqualified from lifting a prayer. Do you know that all the prayers of all people on earth don't get heard? It says some prayers are actually an abomination to God. Did you know that the Bible says that? Okay? It's ugly. And what's usually the thing? There's something between you and God called sin. You missed it. You messed it up. Something that is there in between. And that thing needs dealing before your prayers can be heard. Now, I know that I need to qualify this probably because there's no one who has got all his sins dealt with before he calls out to God. You know, I get that. So it's always a sinner that says, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me." And then in spite of all the sins, God hears and He delivers. All right? What I'm speaking about when I'm saying that there are things is if you have got undealt issues. So, for example, I'm ugly to my friend. Very ugly. I say, "I never want to see you again. I'm going to write about you on Hello Peter." All right? And stuff like that. Then I might be going, "Lord, please help me in my business." And the Lord just says, "Mm-mm. Oh, we've got something that is between us that needs fixing. I'm not going to listen to that prayer before you've sorted this issue." Okay? And this is a simple example just from the testimony. But what I'm saying is things in our lives that are undealt block us from the Lord. To some extent, we need the death of Christ, the reconciliation. We need the dealing with sin just to come into the presence. All right? There's something of the death of Jesus and the dealing of sin which we need to come back to on a daily basis as we come before the presence. We need a dealing with whatsoever has happened in the last 12 hours. What has happened in the past day? I need to deal with sins, and we need to deal with it as long as it is called today. The Bible says, as long as you are in today, that is, before you go into that day of eternity, you need dealing with sins. Okay? And that doesn't mean we are not saved and we're not going. It just means we are dealing with what life throws at us. And one of the ways in which we deal with it is we seek the forgiveness that is found in the broken body and the blood. So we come to this, what God has given, to the communion. We say, "God, have mercy, grant me grace, forgive me for what I've done." All right? We are saved by the death. But there's a second part of the salvation.
And this is what I want to say for the prayer. And that is, we shall be saved. If we were saved through his death, there's something else. We will be saved by the life. And what I'm saying with regards to that is our prayer lives need a living person to guide us. And it comes in the person of the Holy Spirit, and it comes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And with those two who really know how to pray, as we really don't know how to pray, we are going to pray prayers that matter and prayers that make a difference throughout eternity. Can I have an amen on that? So, when you do any little bit of Josh Jen visit, like Luan, or you spend any time in Josh Jen, it won't be long until you hear something where Andrew is saying, we're supposed to be a blueprint church, and we have to base ourselves and we have to base our lives on the Church of Acts. Who has heard that before? Have you ever heard that language before? All right. Now, in the book of Acts, we hear that they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to many various things, but one of the things that they devoted themselves to was they devoted themselves to the prayers. All right? Which is where, it's me, don't drop the ball on prayer. Well, where this comes in. In the book of Acts, they devoted themselves to prayer. And the question is, how are you and I going to devote ourselves to prayer like they did in Acts? That's the question. Okay? And for that purpose, we're just going to revisit one or two ways that they were praying in Acts. Thanks. Here's the revisiting. And for the sake of time, we're not going to be in it long. I think it is that. Thanks so much. Dankie julle twee. Ek dink dit is dit. Dankie, dankie. All right. Can you just give him a hand? I just have him. Dankie julle. Okay, it really makes it easier if we do this together. Wasn't it beautiful in the worship as everyone brought this, the other one brought that? That's the way we see the Lord better, isn't it? That's the way this thing in the kingdom. It's ordinary people like you and I that somehow need to trust for more of heaven here on earth. And the prayer room is definitely that which Basil said. It's like really the engine. It's really like, and so we are looking at how can we strengthen the engine of HMeet PM. This is what we're doing. And we now just revisiting in Acts, how did their engine room work? And then we're going to say, but that's probably the way that our engine room is going to work. Now, when I mention these prayers, can I just say, none of them, not a single one as far as I remember, will be about someone's personal prayer time. Alles van dit is corporate. All right? Every single. Just take note. So, in the book of Acts, Jesus said, wait for the Spirit. So, he gave an instruction, but as they were waiting, what were they doing? They were praying. They devoted themselves. So in Acts 1:14, it says, all of these together constantly in prayer. Kan ek 'n ESV kry? Sorry, gaan dit moeilik wees? All these with one accord were devoting themselves constantly together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brother. But do they have the Holy Spirit at this stage? No. Okay, so this is before Spirit, BS. Before Spirit, they were devoting. And there's a description. It says, with one accord. Who can tell me what the Greek word for with one accord is? Okay, Luan told me he's a third year theology student. Nee, ek is onregverdig, ek weet. Okay, homothumadon. Say with me, homothumadon. Okay, homos would be from one. Okay, it actually, the root word would be one place, one time. All right, it can have a time and a place connotation. And people would say they translate it as together. Okay, so it's like we are homos or homau or what they call. It's something like we are together at the same place at the same time. This is the way they were praying. With one. But there's something else. They were not only praying Homa or like same place, same time. They were praying homothumadon. And it comes from the same root word as thymus, which was supposed to be the passion gland. And so it would directly translated mean the following. They were together at the same time, in the same place, with the same fire, with the same passion, with the same thing burning in their hearts. That is with one accord. And that is with what they were praying with. So just as a baseline, can we aim for, I'm going to be where the saints are at the time when the saints are there, with the same passion that the saints are there with. I am going to bring my whole heart, all of my fire. And in that way, we are going to pray with one accord. So they were there in homothumadon. And in Acts 2 verse 1, it actually says, I didn't give that scripture, but it says, when the day of Pentecost, which is actually commemorated today. Did you know that? Okay. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were homothumadon. Yes, maar jy is vinnig op het. Ching. Well done. Okay, lekker Pierre. So this is the way that they were. Okay, just stick with me. I'm gonna speed it up quickly. After the Holy Spirit was given, did they go back and they say, thanks so much, this has been a great ride, we've got the Spirit, we are on our... No, they didn't. And that's actually where the famous Acts 2:42, which we are quoting, they were together, they continued in this. So before Holy Spirit, they were not just like, we're crying for you, Holy Spirit, and when the baptism happened, they stopped it. Afterwards, they continued. One place, one time, one heart, one passion. All right. But not only did they do that, but when they were persecuted, they did similar. In Acts 4, verse 24, it says Peter and John, I think, they were humiliated in front of the Sanhedrin. They were beaten. They were threatened, and they were sent out and say, "You cannot preach in the name of Jesus anymore." And they went to their own and they lifted their voices, homothumadon. Okay. It was in the face of persecution, they were pressing in that. And the same we find in Acts 12:5. Peter is in prison, that which I mentioned just now. The saints are together. They are crying out, Lord, have mercy on Peter. Deliver him, deliver him, deliver him. And they were, let me just quickly say, I can't remember if this earnest prayer. But the bottom line is, in that place, there was earnest prayer. That I can't remember if that was homothumadon as well, but the saints were pressing in, and then in Acts 12. So the story goes, for those who don't know the story, Peter is in prison. The saints are praying. The angel comes and supernaturally leads him out. Like this is an absolute miracle. He gets out on the street. He's out of prison, and suddenly the angel disappears. Okay, now whatever guidance there would have been isn't there anymore. So imagine this, you're in prison, you're going to be killed. The next day, he was supposed to be killed. Okay, you're going to be killed. Suddenly there's this whole sequence of events. And you think, what now? Okay, but it is night. I think it was the third watch of the night or whatever, but it's probably past midnight. You're on the streets of Jerusalem where they want to kill you. And you think, what am I going to do now? Well, what did Peter do? He went to a place without having a cell phone, without having a WhatsApp group, without having anything. Where did he go? He went to the house of Mary. At that time of the night, and found the saints praying. How did he guess that they would be praying at Mary's place for him? Because it wasn't the first time that they had been praying at Mary's place. Where do you know the prayer fire is going on all the time? Because we have to have these places where if somebody gets dropped in the middle of Edgemeet, he'll know there's a place of prayer. there's a group of people, they will be praying. I know that. I haven't seen the circulation. I haven't seen, but I know them. I know their habits. I know their ways. Any case. So Peter goes there. He finds them like he knew. And then he goes and hides himself afterwards because the rest of Jerusalem also knew that they were praying. But this was when they were persecuted. You find, however, in a time of non-persecution, and that's in the next chapter, in a different city altogether. It's in Antioch, far away from Jerusalem. In Acts 13:2, we find that the church was together. They were worshiping and praying. And as they were praying together, the Holy Spirit separated. The Holy Spirit was speaking, and they could do the missions thing. All right. So, just a quick deduction. If we look at these few examples, were the prayers of the saints based on needs only? Was it need-based prayer? No. If it was the need of the Holy Spirit, they were also praying afterwards. If it was the need of getting free from persecution, they were also praying afterwards. Okay? The saints in Acts actually get described as having an hour of prayer, which sounded like a daily base. Okay? It seemed like a habitual thing that they were constantly doing. If you and I want to be part of an Acts-like church who devotes themselves to prayers, we have to make the appointments. We have to look at our schedules, and we have to call it, all right? So one of the things that I want to say is that in this wrestling with principalities and powers, there are demons that want to keep you away from prayer, okay? Without doubt. And the moment that you start to make any progress in the Lord, and you start to become a threat in the spiritual realm, I will guarantee you, some demon is going to be out to limit the amount that you pray and the quality of your prayers. Okay? It's going to be a wrestling. And to some extent, I feel that the living Lord Jesus wants to deliver every one of us tonight. You right there where you are. Where I don't know your name, but He does. That He wants to come and bring that spark and bring that revelation and bring that breakthrough, that from here forward, there will be a difference. There will be something more, all right? Now, there is a demon-like creature that is like a snake, like a python. It squeezes the life out of you, okay? What is that thing that squeezes your prayer life to oblivion for you? Because the Lord wants to deal with that thing. I think there can be many things for people in general, things that threaten you, that silence you, that say, listen here, you have sinned too much, you're disqualified. Remember what I said is that the participation in the broken body and blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us immediately of that which we have done wrong. The disqualifications for prayer get dealt with and removed immediately as we turn to the Lord. We just need to turn to the Lord. And the empowering happens immediately as we turn to the Lord. And He's going to teach us and He's going to help. But what is that python that the Lord Jesus needs to crush for you? Because I believe that that He actually wants to do that. Oh, my Lord. Can I have 5 more minutes? 5 more minutes. Okay. I want us, as you're considering what I asked, just quickly shift to this. Many times our prayer lives and our walk with Jesus starts in the personal. But I want to say, edge meet with regards to the impact that you're going to have as a congregation. Your corporate prayer times will be absolutely key with regards to that. How well you pray together. And I want to just say that we have to pursue the life of Jesus in our corporate prayer times. And sometimes that's a hard thing. But I'm going to throw out a few things which the enemy could use theoretically to quench or to steal of the life. And then as you work with that, hopefully, in the little groups, you will find more of the life. Okay? I'm just going to throw it out for time's sake. So one, when you pray together, come prepared. Be on time. Choose a leader. So don't just haphazardly be together, the five or six of you or whatsoever. And by the way, don't wait for the elders to arrange a prayer meeting. Somebody with a pure heart who is for the elders. I don't want the other guys to arrange this. But somebody who is for this church and for the leadership of this church, who can say, for the Lord and for Basil. You know, if you can say it with a pure heart, arrange a prayer meeting and fight together with the saints for the good of this house. So, you choose a leader and you follow the leader. The leader will give you certain guidelines. Don't pray off the charts somewhere else. We, everybody who comes to a prayer meeting, has the ability to give life or steal it. All right? You can kill a prayer meeting by what you are bringing. All right? Don't kill it. It's praying off the charts, like way out, doesn't help. Bringing your own agenda, praying too much, it doesn't help. Okay? Pray little bits. Say lots of amens. Make somebody else's prayer sound beautiful. That's how you find the life of the Lord. All right? When we get together, please, 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 before you ask whatever the Lord, whatever the need is, you know, Lord, help me from whatever. It's please start with who He is and how He is. State the Lord. So when Jesus said, when you pray, He said, our Father, who is God? Who is in heaven? Where He is? And then how He is. You are kind. You are good. You are generous. You are faithful. If you want to look at some of the saints praying very well, these prayers, look at Daniel. He prayed an exceptional prayer, just in the way that he stated who God is before he, and I think Nehemiah also does a good version of that. Just the God-focusedness, the God-centeredness, long before anything else. Our Father, your name, your kingdom, your will, and then we get to the fallen earth. All right? Praise Him. Say thank you. Think scriptures. In our coming, when we posture ourselves to pray, one of the pitfalls is I want to impress. Don't impress people, please. Sort out that temptation in your quiet room. Try and impress the Lord with how you sing and jump and whatever. But when we get together, focus on serving. Serve the King. Serve your eldership. Serve the church. Serve the saints around you. If you see they are struggling, try and play them open. How do you play open as somebody? Just say something of who God is. Something that is a common denominator. You know, don't pray for Liverpool. Because you might have a Man United player right there. You're going to lose him. All right? Find common ground. What is common ground? The Lord Jesus. The goodness of the Lord. The purposes of God. That which is... Try and keep, because that plays open. Because there's somebody and he's downcast. And then suddenly he remembers, oh yeah, life is actually not about my football club, but about something greater and more eternal. Amen. All right. I touched on it quickly last time, but think harmonizing. Think about, are we going to do this together? It's not... You're going to pray something, I'm going to pray something, and the next guy is going to pray something. No, what are we together praying? Can we pray one prayer from a few different mouths, from a few different hearts? I'm telling you, if you get that right, and it's quite a difficult thing at times, but if you get that right, the favor and the life and the power of God will enter in. Why? Because where there's unity... When there's humility, those things attract the grace. And this is what I've mentioned. Praying one prayer, which you don't get the credit for. But you make the environment nice for your peers, for the people that are with you. That humility, that servant-hearted attitude attracts God. And can I say, if you're a leader... And you are leading this prayer meeting. You need to think how to get people in unity all the time. Firstly, you need to call the place. What will suit people the best? What kind of encouragement will help them? What kind of leading them? Can I hear from them before I'm going to tell them where I think we should be? Like, what are you feeling? What does the Lord say? And do they feel valued? Do they have space? Are you giving it? The prayer meeting leader needs to know what time everybody needs to leave. If somebody all the time needs to think like, should I leave, should I? It's difficult. But if you ask, hey, what time do you need to go? And you, all right, I'll work with that. I'll keep an eye. That's a way of serving. It's a way of making room. And God's presence will honor something so simple as being aware of people's time schedules, of people's words, things that they are carrying. And can I say, mostly, like probably 95%+ of the time, whatever people bring, even if it looks far off, Holy Spirit will somehow make room for that in the prayer time. Just look out for it. Even if it's saying, you know what, when I came, my dog was struck by a car this morning, and you think like, ew, we're actually praying for Holy Spirit infilling, and what on earth does the dog have to do? Well, maybe, this is usually what I do as a leader. I'm interrupting myself. What I usually do is, if somebody is dealing with this right now, like a trauma of a pet, there might be other people like this too, you know? There might be other people that could miss what the Lord is doing through things that are happening. All right, let's pray for everybody who right at this moment, because of what life is throwing at them, with what life is throwing at them, could miss what the Lord wants to do. You bring in the dark immediately, but you don't miss where the Lord is, okay? So always with whatever is coming, let's work that in. And can I just say, anyone theoretically could lead a prayer meeting, I think. But you need to practice it, okay? And anyone in the kingdom can pray. I'm absolutely persuaded. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the kingdom. There's something in you. Did you know that you can pray without words? With me. You can groan. Can you groan along with the Holy Spirit without saying a word? Have you done it before? I would encourage it. It's part of praying. It's part of spiritual praying. That's actually how praying in the Spirit could work for you. It's like you try and utter and give a vocal sound to something which is happening on the inside. That's how you pray. And you don't have to use vocals and consonants and whatever. You can actually groan with the Spirit. So sometimes when I pray for people, I would say, sure, Lord, I'll just lift Pam before you. Ah! Holy Spirit is the one who comes and He helps us. And that thing somehow becomes, the real answered language in heaven is that which is a spiritual language, which could have English words, or it could have some other groaning or sound, which is not English at all. Let's also give ourselves to that. All right, I need to land this. Philippians 2:1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full homothumadon. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. This is how we pray. I grew up with an Afrikaans preacher that was doing well during that stage. His name was Louis Malherbe, and he had a saying that he used to repeat every so often. He says, what you are living is what you are believing in. The rest is just religious talk. I'm going to repeat that. What you are living is what you are believing in. The rest is just religious talk. And the author of James would go with the same thing. He says, You are speaking about your faith, but there's nothing to it. I'm going to show you what I believe by the way that I live. Come look at my life, and you see what I'm persuaded of. Okay? Let us be the people where others can come and look at us and see they are persuaded to devote themselves to the apostolic teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Can we stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, that you are here to persuade, to come alongside, not to shame us, but to deliver us. Lord, we thank you that the slimy nature of the beast that is around us and so frequently confronts us is something that you've dealt with and are dealing with continually. Lord, we thank you that you are not intimidated by the devil. You are not intimidated by the twistedness or the brokenness or any of this. Lord, to the contrary, you are the God, Lord, who would look to dead bones in a valley, a has-been army, and you are able to say, live. And Lord, we thank you that for us, in whatever stage of activation we are in, Lord, it is no different. But tonight, Lord, we thank you that you are present in accordance with your word, and you are so ready to touch and deliver. And so we want to ask you, in the humblest way, in the most desperate way, we want to ask you, Lord, please help us. Help us to pray. Help us to partake of you. Help us to deal with sin quickly. And help us not to stay on neutral ground, but to be empowered by your life. And so right now, I pray, Lord, that every prayer that will be prayed by somebody in this congregation, somebody sitting in this auditorium, somebody listening to this recording, Lord, I pray that every prayer will have a changed nature to it, that every prayer will somehow be covered by that which you gave at Calvary. Lord, that it will be covered by your blood and empowered by your spirit. That the veils will be torn, and that even as we were singing, God, so you will come upon us. You will open the eyes of our hearts. And we will be those who pray with eyes wide open. Lord, I thank you, God, that your word says that no weapon formed against your people will prosper. And Lord, every weapon of prayerlessness that has come upon and come against Edgemead PM, Lord, we pray that you would nullify that thing, that you would break that thing, that you would break it off our lives, and that we will not be defined by prayerlessness, but by prayerfulness. We trust you, Lord Jesus. And we know, God, that by ourselves we will be disappointed. And by ourselves we will continue to be disappointing you. But with our God, we will run against the troop. And with our God, we will leap over a wall. For it is He who girds us with strength and makes our way perfect. And so we turn to you, Lord Jesus, the perfect intercessor, the one who has been groaning and praying, calling each one of us by name, able to save to the uttermost. Lord, we turn to you and we say, save us from prayerlessness, Lord. And help us to pray like you, and help us to pray with you. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come upon us, even as we are remembering that first day of an outpour. And I pray, yeah, come upon us. Father, I actually want to turn to you, Father, and I want to say, won't you pour upon us a spirit of grace and supplication according to your word? Because you said, Father, and so we pray that you do in a mighty, most meaningful way. Just reach to him. Just lift your hands. If you've got faith for that, just cry out to the Father. Father of lights. Father of lights. We call on you, Father. Help us, help us, help us. Just right now, that python, that intimidator, that squeezer, that thing that wants to press us out of the purposes and out of the life, specifically the religious spirit, Lord, I pray that you would deal it a death blow in our midst. Lord, I pray that our prayers will have no fluff and that we will not be distracted by any religious spirit. I pray for that. We ask you for it. Have mercy on us, O God. We trust you, we trust you. And where we are blind and making room for it, Lord, please open our eyes and help us to kill that thing. For your name's sake, Lord, this is for your name's sake. And I pray, Lord Jesus, may your name ever be on our lips. ever be on our lips. Never our own. Never the name of Josh Jen. Never the name of our suburb or anything else, but your name above every other name. Let revival break forth and be perpetuated in this congregation as you are lifted up, Lord Jesus. Amen.